Well, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 14, as we stand together. 1 Chronicles, chapter 14. As we look at verse number 8. If I were to ask you tonight to describe David to me, if I were to ask you to describe what kind of man David was, I wonder what you might say. I'm sure some of you would say David was a bold and a brave man. David was a faithful and tender-hearted shepherd. Or perhaps others might say David was a great king. He was the greatest king that Israel has ever known. Or perhaps David was a great friend. As we read in the pages of Scripture, the great relationship that David had with Jonathan. Or perhaps as we recall David's confrontation with the bear and the lion, and then that great giant of a man, Goliath, we might declare that David was a great soldier. But I bet only a few would say that David was a great prayer warrior. So I want us to see tonight this truth, that David was not only a man of war, but David was a man of prayer. As we look at three characteristics of a prayer warrior. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim." And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, "Go not up after them. Turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines." David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the hosts of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Thank you. You may be seated. The characteristics of a prayer warrior. My first point tonight simply is this, that a prayer warrior prays. Amen. It is within the nature of a believer to pray. A dog barks, a cat meows, a pig snorts, and believers pray. David did not pray because he was seeking to be righteous. No, David prayed because he was righteous. Unbelievers may pray as a means to salvation or as a source of self-help, but true believers pray because they have an inward desire to commune with their God and Savior. And they are resting on God's promises that God not only hears the prayers of the righteous, but God delights in them as a sweet-smelling savor. As we read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." In Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If you are born again, if you are born into the kingdom of life and light, the first cry that you cry as a believer after you smite your breast like a publican and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And after you come into contact with this new redemption and new salvation that we have through Christ, the first cry that we have as babes in Christ is Abba, Father. William Gurnall said this, praying is the same to the new creature as crying is to the new, to the natural. The child is not learned by art or example to cry, but instructed by nature. It comes into the world crying. Praying is not a lesson got by forms and rules of art, but flowing from principles of new life itself. And William Gurnall was just repeating what Paul had mentioned under the inspiration of God through the pages of Scripture, that true believers pray. They cry out to God. They want to spend time with their God. And the way we communicate with God is through prayer. God communicates to us through His Word, and we communicate to God through prayer. A prayer warrior prays. I want you to see here in verse 10 that David inquires of God. The Philistines heard that David was anointed king over Israel. And if you know anything about the history of Israel, the Philistines were one of the greatest enemies of God's people. And so the Philistines hear that there's a new man in town, that this David who has slain his 10,000, this David who has slain a bear and a lion, he has come up as king, and so we must come up against him. So verse 9, it tells us, and the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley. And as David is acquainted with this news and no doubt sees the Philistines coming, what does he do? Notice verse 10, he inquires of God. Prayer warriors run to God when they are faced with trouble. David does not inquire of finite man, but of an infinite God. David does not run to God's creation, but to God the Creator. And compared to the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent King of Kings, David can proclaim, vain is the help of man. Psalm 56, verses 10 through 11. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And it is said that the very center verse of the pages of Scripture, Psalm 118, verse 8, is this. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why? Because man's breath is simply in the hand of the Lord. Now, the man thinks that he reigns and that he is in control, but he is a fool to think so, because God is sovereign and God sits on a throne and He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so David is persuaded by this truth. And so when he sees the enemies prevailing, he inquires of his God. And I have to say that there are many in this congregation tonight hearing my voice, that when you are faced with problems and trials and the rug is pulled from underneath your feet, I'm afraid to say the first people that you run to is man. You run to your spouse or child. You run to your parent. You run to pick up the phone and to call the pastor. But I'm telling you, while all those are not bad in and of themselves, there is safety in the multitude of counselors. But you see here in the pages of Scripture, David first inquires of God. And we ought to be like David. We must inquire help and wisdom from God long before we inquire any help from man. People may change their opinions, but God is unchanging. People will fail you, but God never will. People cannot see the whole picture, but God sees through eternity past. If you have been truly converted, transformed by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been called a soldier. You have been called to fight in this great fight of faith. And as a soldier of the cross, you have been called to be a prayer warrior. But perhaps you're here tonight, and as you examine this first truth that prayer warriors pray, you might ask yourself, well, I'm not sure if I truly am a prayer warrior. I really have no desire to commune with God. I pray, I seek to speak words to God, but it just seems like it doesn't go past the wall of my house. So see from God's word that true Christians truly pray, and true Christians are true prayer warriors. And perhaps it is that you don't have the desire to pray, to cry out to God as you ought to. It is because you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You have not experienced the new birth. You have not been born again. And so I command you to read John chapter 3. And I tell you that you must be born again. You must know Christ. And you must trust alone in Him for salvation. So see, prayer warriors, those who are called Christians, I want you to understand that as prayer warriors, we are called to pray specifically, and we are called to pray frequently. Notice here in verse 10, David says, "And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And David truly desired to follow God's will, whatever it was. He, in full confidence, was dependent upon God and God blessing the work of his hands. And notice here that David prays specifically. He doesn't pray, "Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, help me." David points out there's the enemies and they're confronted. They are the Philistines. "Shall I go up against the Philistines? And if I do, wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And so we ought to learn from this passage that we are to lay out our petitions before God specifically. How about you, young person? "Lord, do you want me to marry so-and-so? Lord, do you want me to take that job that has been offered?" And perhaps you're considering a move. "Lord, do you want me to move into this new location, into this new town? Lord, do you want me to do, what do you want me to do in this particular situation?" And I think so often we just have a quick microwave prayer that we just pray to God, that we forget to ask for specifics. And prayer doesn't need to be specific if it's specifically outlined in the pages of Scripture. Understand that. You don't have to ask God, "Lord, do you want me to stop cussing and swearing? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Lord, do you want me to stop my lying? Thou shalt not lie. Lord, do you want me to go to church? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Lord, do you want me to stop listening to that music and watching those TV shows that include ungodly, filthy, blasphemous language?" Well, duh. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And so that which is revealed in the Word of God, we don't need to pray for specifics. But there are times in our lives where we are asking God to lead us and guide us in specific areas. And I want you to learn that David prayed specifically. And that doesn't also mean that we can't pray like Peter when we're falling and sinking into the water, "Lord, save me," because he hears those simple prayers too. But when it comes to, "Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, bless our pastor. Lord, help me today." We'll ask specifically, how can we pray for the missionaries? Protect them, provide for them, encourage them, and bless the work of their hands that they might have much fruit for your honor, for your glory. And so we do pray specifically. Notice also, David prayed frequently. Verses 13 through 14. "And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley." And understand this, the enemy always returns. And though Satan may be as a sleeping lion for a while, he always awakes and comes back. The ugly flesh always rears its ugly head again The enemies always come back and fight again. The Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. And David was told to go up the first time. And if he goes up, God will deliver them into his hand. But here David prays again, as verse 14 tells us, therefore David inquires again of God. Notice, David could have said, well, I've already asked. I've already prayed once. And therefore I will go. I will proceed in my own wisdom, in my own strength, because I saw how the battle went last time. Therefore, I'm equipped to go this next time. No, when the enemies prevailed again, David prayed again. And God said unto him, go not up after them. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Jesus Christ wants us to understand, as he tells us in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And David does not say, I've got this one figured out. No, a new situation, a new opportunity to pray. So how about you tonight in your prayer life, as you are faced with a new trial, a new trouble, a new challenge? And do you take it before the Lord in prayer? Or are we so self-confident? Are we so filled with pride that we think that we can handle this one on our own? Don't be like a Solomon who God bless. And you read the first 10 chapters of 1 Kings. God revealed himself to this king. God used Solomon to build his house. God used Solomon to write Proverbs. And then chapter 11 happens. And Solomon loved many strange women and turned his heart away from the Lord. Don't be like Solomon in that he looked past at his past spiritual accomplishments and said, hey, look what I've already done. No, as we pray, it's a battle each and every day. The enemy is always there. The flesh is there every day. The world is getting darker and darker, so we must pray frequently. Secondly, I want you to see that a prayer warrior listens and obeys God. A prayer warrior listens and obeys God. A prayer warrior prays, but a prayer warrior listens and obeys God. And as we pray, we must wait on the Lord with a listening ear. The Lord said unto him, go up the first time, for I will deliver them into thine hand. And David smote them there. David doesn't just say a quick prayer and run ahead of the Lord with what he thinks is the best plan of attack. David trusts that the Lord's ways are the best way. Therefore, God is going to show himself faithful as David waits on him for direction and guidance. So in prayer, we must not only seek the face of God, but listen for his voice. God doesn't speak audibly out loud from heaven as he did with the prophets of old or even the apostles. No, God speaks to us in that quiet, still, small voice within us. It is his Spirit who uses his word to lead us and guide us and direct us. So a prayer warrior listens, waits upon the Lord, and obeys God, and has a heart to obey. We don't pray this, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then run off and do our own thing. No, it's, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to sit as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listen and to be instructed and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. As we pray, we must wait on God with a listening ear. But as we pray, we must have a heart to obey what God commands through his word. The Bible says, David therefore did as God commanded. When God speaks to your heart through prayer, do you obey? Or do you kick against it? Are you like Peter, as we've heard? Not so, Lord. Or do you submit yourself unto it? A prayer warrior listens and obeys God. Thirdly, a prayer warrior is God-confident, not self-confident. David could have said, I am the king. I have the power, strength, wisdom, and abilities to fight the Philistines all by myself. If you would have saw me slay the lion and slay the giant, you would know that I am a man of war and I've got things covered by myself. No, David inquires of God because he wants God's assurance and God's blessing upon him. And notice, dear church family, that these things, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, that these things that were recorded in 1 Chronicles were written for our admonition. That these things were written for our example, for our learning. And so I want you to consider this tonight also. The reasons why we may not be a prayer warrior. As I've mentioned one already, it could be because we are not truly born again. You're not truly a Christian. You might be a Judas. You might preach in the name of Christ. You might even utter prayers that sound really spiritual and religious, but in your heart you're far from God. None of the disciples thought Judas was going to be the one to betray Christ. They were surprised when he stood up, left with the money bag, and then eventually betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt those same disciples heard Judas pray. They heard Judas preach, and yet they were surprised. If you are without Christ, the Lord is coming back soon. Death is around the corner. Do not play games with God. And the first prayer you need to pray is, Lord, save me. The first prayer as you enter into the Christian faith is, Lord, I'm a sinner, yet Christ is the Savior. And you beg for His grace and power to save. You understand that there's nothing good within yourself, that all the goodness that there is to have is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so you may not be a prayer warrior because you may not have the desire to pray because you are not God's child. So pray and ask God to save you and to rescue you from the pit of destruction, from the judgment to come, and from the misery of sin, from yourself. Another reason why you may not be a prayer warrior, number two, your trust is not in the Lord, but in men. You say, how do I know this? Well, because when your marriage crumbles, when your children rebel, your friends turn against you, you run to men before you run to the Lord. I'm speaking from experience. And we want to run to the physical ears of men before we want to run to the throne of grace. But we need to pray to God. We need to inquire of Him first. David prayed to and obeyed God, not man. Are you seeking wisdom and discernment in a certain area of life? Ask God. Don't depend upon man. Israel is reproved in Isaiah chapter 30 because their trust is in Egypt. Their trust is in the world. They're leaning upon a reed that will soon be broken. And so God calls us, trust not in man, but trust in His omnipotent, omniscient arm. Trust in His power to save. Inquire of God. He delights to save His people from the enemies that are within the flesh and without the world. And David was a great prayer warrior. Now, thirdly, we may not be a prayer warrior as we ought because simply we are spiritually lazy. The greatest work the Christian is called to do is the ministry of prayer and intercession. The greatest work that the church is called to do is the ministry of prayer and intercession. As I expressed a couple weeks ago, this ministry of prayer and intercession is the hardest work, and that's why we shy away from it. Now, again, I am a man of like passions as you are. So I can speak from experience. People say, how does a preacher know me so well? Because the preacher is a man. Yes. And that's why it's easy to watch 2 hours of television and yet struggle to pray for 20 minutes. It's easy to come and work and labor and toil and sweat 6 hours on church work day, but we can't pray 6 minutes for the Lord's day. Why? Because prayer is hard work. It takes 20 minutes just to fight against your flesh to even begin to pray. It's hard. And Satan knows where the power lies. As you, as God's soldier, you are called to be equipped with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of righteousness, with the sword of the Spirit, with your feet shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the shield of faith. And at the end of that, where's our final weapon? Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer. It's the last one, and we don't like to acknowledge that that's part of the armor as well, to pray. So as we face the enemies of God, as we battle against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, we don't fight with carnal means. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they are spiritual in nature. And David knows this. David has weapons. David has the men. But David says, weapons and men are vain unless the Lord blesses. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. We can fight and we can proceed in the gospel work here on this earth. But unless the Lord blesses, it's all vain. We can get up here with the choir. We can have nice music. We can have nice lighting and we can be friendly, but unless the Lord's Spirit and presence is here, what good is it? So church family, I'm calling you to pray. I'm calling you to be a prayer warrior. I want you to name one man or woman in Scripture that was greatly used of God who wasn't a prayer warrior. You can't. Jacob wrestled with God. Moses prayed, Lord, show me thy glory. Paul was a great man of prayer, praying for his congregations that they might be filled with the knowledge of God, that they might know his will. Peter and the apostles, the other people praying for Peter, as we're going to read here, coming up in the book of Acts. Peter's cast in jail. And what does the church do when Peter's cast in jail? They don't call a lawyer. They call upon God. And that's an example. When people are arrested and taken to jail for their faith, where do we run to? The lawyer. We ought to run to God. Name one man or woman in church history that was greatly used of God who wasn't a prayer warrior. Can't do it. George Mueller of Bristol, why do we like him? Why do we hold him up as a great example of faith? Because he was a man of prayer. And Charles Spurgeon, Hudson Taylor, Amy Carmichael, how did they make it on the mission field? And David Brainerd ministering to the Indians on the east coast of this country because they poured their hearts out to God and they were prayer warriors. Look at Psalm 109, if you would please. Psalm 109. We have the words of David continuing. Psalm 109, verses 1 through 4. Like many of the Psalms here, David is pouring his heart out to God. And David is surrounded by enemies. Their tongues are spitting against him as the poison of snakes. He's troubled on every side. And yet here's what David says in Psalm 109, verses 1 through 4. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto
prayer. I'm sinking down. The weight is too strong. The king, King Saul, wants to slay me. He's even throwing spears at me, trying to kill me. Absalom, my own son, seeking to destroy me. As I'm seeking after God, as a deer seeks after the water brooks, through all the midst of this trouble, what should I do? David says, I'm going to give myself unto prayer. And let's be honest, we give ourselves to so many other things that are non-spiritual in nature. And we need to be like David, to be prayer warriors and to give ourselves unto prayer. It's high time that we get off Pinterest and start praying. It's high time that we get off Facebook and get on our face. It's high time that we turn off the television a little bit and spend more time in intercession. It's high time that we, like David, become prayer warriors. You're saying you're a legalist. You're calling out things. No. I'm saying it's easy to run and do activities of this world when the greatest work is often neglected. These precious children that were up here tonight singing, who will pray for them? Who will pray that they will be kept from the fiery darts of the wicked one? Who will pray that God might save their souls? Who will pray that they will one day meet godly spouses and walk together in the fear of the Lord? Your family, your husband, your spouse, your children, your parents, who will pray? The lost loved one you've been witnessing to, our outreaches to come, our services that we have week in and week out, who will give themselves to pray? Oh God, grant us your power, grant us your presence. May we see lost souls come to know you. May we see believers baptized and walking in obedience to your word. May we see people sent out from this place as missionaries going into the regions beyond us to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Who will proclaim and who will pray for our pastor? As such a ministry that involves great toil and great heartaches, yet great rejoicings. Who will pray for our preachers, for our missionaries, for the laborers of the Lord? And what was it that made David a man after God's own heart? He is called that. What was it? Was it because he was a handsome young lad? Nope. Was it because of his strength, physical strength? Because of his wisdom? No, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the man who has riches glory in his riches. But let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And David was a man after God's own heart, because David was a man of God's word, and David was a man of prayer. You remember in Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to the Lord Jesus, and they come to the Christ with a question. And they say, Lord, and teach us how to cast out demons. Is that it? No. They didn't pray, Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. Lord, teach us how to preach with power and unction. They didn't pray that. Lord, teach us how to walk on water. No. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. The greatest prayer warrior who has ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to see that truth revealed, read John chapter 17 and how he prayed for us. He prayed for us, those Gentiles who would become one with the Jews, the sheep who have not yet come into the fold, but Christ is going to make sure that they come into the fold for His namesake, for His honor, and for His glory. So Christ prayed for us. He was the greatest prayer warrior. And so what made David a prayer warrior? It was because David was Christ-like. Even though he had not seen the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would know the prophecies concerning Him. And if we are to be Christ-like this evening, we must be a people of prayer.
Amen.
Have you neglected this needful ministry in your life? I know so often the Holy Spirit puts His finger on this area and say, Casey, you're depending too much on your flesh and on your power and your strength and wisdom. You need to pray. You need to wait. David prayed twice. He inquired of God twice. One, David said, was told to go. And secondly, wait. David, wait. Watch the mulberry trees. And when they move, then you go. Then you can be assured that the battle is of the Lord, and I will fight those battles for you. So perhaps you're praying through some things right now, and you're tempted to just put the pedal to the metal, put your foot on the acceleration, and just go, hoping the Lord will bless. Wait. You better pray, you better fast, and you better wait for the assurance that the Spirit gives us through His Word, that this is indeed the will of God. And may we sit at the feet of Christ tonight and say like the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's stand together as we conclude tonight. Father, I ask that You would be merciful to us and forgive us of our prayerlessness, even my own. Oh God, how many are the times where I have failed to seek Your face, to seek Your strength, to seek Your will. And if, Lord, You tell us that we can glorify You in the most minute details of this life, as in eating and drinking, certainly it is important to pray over the minute things that we often neglect. And to pray is not only to ask, but to praise, to adore You, to magnify You, to thank You. So, Lord, work within our hearts a spirit of prayer, that we might be a people who goes throughout the week ever communing with You, our God and our Father. Lord, I pray that we would consider David's life, that he was certainly a prayer warrior. And Father, we pray that we might humbly ask You to make us a prayer warrior, not only as He was, but as our greatest example, the Lord Jesus Christ, was. It is said, no prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. But Lord, we want to know Your power. And so I pray that You would teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.